I feel like the Lord is saying, I am a rock to those who trust in me. I am a shelter for those who run and seek my refuge. I am the strength that your heart longs for. I am the place of stability that you desire. And I feel like the Lord is just saying, trust in me. I've got this. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I know everything about it. Nothing takes me by surprise. I know everything in your life, and I've got this. So trust in the Lord your God.
Transition a little bit. Stay in an attitude of prayer, but if you're still standing, go ahead and have a seat. And we're going to pray as a family. As we're praying and worshiping, Psalm 84 came to mind. I'm going to read some of it, and then we're going to start calling out prayer needs. God says, my house will be a house of prayer. And we honor that call. So in Psalm 84, starting in 1, it says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. A little bit farther down, it says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. they will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. And down at 10, it says, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what a joy for those who trust in you. Lord, we trust in you, and we bring you everything. You're so good. So as a family, we've been praying for some things and creating opportunity because we want to partner with you as you or your family are walking through things. So as God gives you something to pray about, I'll start with a few things. So some of the things we've been praying for and interceding for quite a bit are things like the lost, of course. For those that don't yet have a relationship with God, Lord, we pray for their salvation, that they would have a relationship with you. We're praying for those that are making their way back home. The Bible calls them prodigals. We just want to pray for them to come home, to be in relationship with God. Coming against addictions, just breaking the back of that and bringing the healing. God would bring healing to wherever that wound was that created an opportunity for the enemy to get a foothold. Mental health issues. That's huge in every area of mental health. And supernatural healing, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus died for all of it. All of it. So I'm going to look, and if there's something in particular on anybody else's heart, please pop your hand up. We want to include that. Yes. Restoration of families. Amen. So good. Yes. Grief. Those that are grieving, the Lord comforts those who mourn. Part of that is that we actually have to bring it to Him. And so that's great. There's a lot of grief. Something else? We pray for children of all ages, but we cancel the assignments of the enemy against our kids. We pray that they would flourish in life and they would be connected to the Lord, that they would know their purpose and their calling. Yes. Peace. That's so good. Thank you. August, that's a good one. Peace. That's powerful. Yes. Marriages. Yes. I'm going to lift up marriages. They'd be healed, restored, strengthened. It's so good. Yes. The United States and Israel. Absolutely. I'm so thankful that the Lord is here in the midst of us, and He hears every prayer request. The United States and Israel. God has a purpose and a plan. He has all the solutions already. We're just in the process of discovering them. And so, Father, we pray for leadership in all those areas, that your will would prevail. Yes. Deliverance. Total deliverance for everyone who needs it, regardless the situation or the circumstance. It's good. Anything else? Father, we pray for those that are the students that just graduated, whether from high school or college or from trade schools, Lord, that they would not flounder, that they would know that they would have a purpose and a call, that they wouldn't lose sight or lose direction. God, we pray for miraculous divine intervention in bodies, in minds, in circumstances. That we would be able to discern the difference between current facts and holy truth. And that we would keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Not only for us, Lord, but for our family members, for friends. Because you are good. And you are faithful in all things. Anything else before we move on? God, we thank you that as we come to you, we're going to take a second. And I believe that God's going to put people or situations on your heart that maybe you didn't share out loud, but still need prayer. And so I just want to give a moment of silence for people to just pray. It's between you and God to bring that. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for someone you know, to just pray and ask the Lord to touch that situation. Father, we thank you that you hear us. Even in our silence, you know our hearts and our thoughts. You are so good. So, Stacy, did you have something you wanted to share that's in this? Okay. Thank you. Good morning. As we were worshiping, I feel like the Holy Spirit was just impressing upon me that to encourage us to just lay it all down. He knows everything about us. That little thing in your life that you're kind of holding off to the side because maybe you think it's okay, it's not a big deal. It might be tripping you up and holding you back from coming into this deeper place with the Lord. The Holy Spirit will show you what that is. You can trust him. If you have a bad habit that keeps hanging you up, even release that to him and ask him what he wants you to do. And just take that very next step. He will never overwhelm you. He knows exactly the right path for each of us, the very best path. And he's a gentle and good leader and shepherd. So if you have any, even a tiny part of your heart where anger is residing, where fear is residing, where you have any bitterness towards a particular person, whatever it is, just release it to the Lord. Trust him with it and be able to enter more fully into what he has for you today. I believe he wants to go deeper today in some people's lives, and it's not that most of us aren't doing pretty well overall, but I feel like there's this deep calls to deep, and he wants us to live in full healing and freedom. And so just release it and ask the Holy Spirit, any part of your heart that is wounded, even if it was something from the past, if it still feels ouchy, if it still feels like it hurts, then there's still a wounding there. Invite the Holy Spirit into that space, into that memory, into that event, and let him heal that and take that pain from you. Good word. So, Father, we release all of those things to you. And we come with expectation, hope, the expectation of good. So, Lord, you restore hope in all of us. We speak the peace of God over every circumstance in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. That's a good amen. That's good. Thank you so much, Mitchell. That's wonderful. Okay, I just have a couple of announcements. Welcome home, you guys. Good to see you. Whether you're joining us here in person or if you're joining us online, yay us. That's good. I'm excited. So, and we also want to walk with you. And so if there's anything that you have prayer requests that maybe you weren't able to share yet, there's cards on the back table and in the back of the chairs here. We encourage you to write down your prayer requests or any information you think we should know, so that we can pray effectively for you, or if you want to get together, have a meeting, please let us know, because we would love that. Hey, hi, guys. It's fun to come together as family. So there's communication cards. Just want to share about a couple of things we have coming up. Every Monday night, we have prophetic prayer and fellowship over in the fellowship hall, and that starts at 5 o'clock. And so you are welcome to join. Come in the side door over here. Celebrate Recovery is on Friday nights at 5:30. Starts with a meal and then goes into small groups. large group, then small group. Saturday night prayer here at 5 o'clock. His hands and feet ministry. Thank you guys, Justs, for stepping into that. That's wonderful. Such a blessing to so many. And you guys are taking a break in July.
Yes.
They're going to do some feeding on the first weekend of July, right, at the Sleep Center, and then they're going to take July off. So that's good. You have other things planned. Thanks for sharing that. Next weekend is Soap Sunday, and we love that because we want to hear what God's doing on your heart. If you want to learn more about that, let us know. We have more information. And I have two plugs today. So first one is, I'm excited. We're going to have a booth at 4th of July in the park. Yes. That's going to be so fun. So we're going to do things like we're going to hand out information. We're going to pray for people. We're going to give encouraging words. We're going to have people sign up for drawings for Bibles and whatnot. And so we're just going to be present. You know that there's a saying that says you must be present to win. Well, we're going to be present. And so we have a couple shifts that need staffed. And so I need one more person to come and join us in the morning at 7 to help set up. We're going to set up the cabana and all that good stuff. Shouldn't take very long. Pretty easy setup. So I need one person at 7. I need two people, greeters, from 2 to 4. All you're going to do is you're going to say, hi, this is us. Here, have a card and give away things. You get to be a hero. So I already have a prayer team for that time frame. So thank you for that. The sign up for all these are out front, by the way. And then I need a full team for teardown. And that's from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. The event stops at about 5:30, and teardown always goes faster than setup, right? So I need those areas staffed, so I'd ask you to please pray about that, and then sign your name out on the clipboard that's out front. And I want to do one other plug. You know, we are so blessed with families and little kids. We love them, and all the different ages. But you know what? It's an interesting dynamic. As we've had an influx of kids, we need more teachers. Y'all, we have nursery, and they stay in the nursery until they're potty trained, and then they step into the next class, which is pre-K and kindergarten, and then they graduate from there to elementary class. The teenagers and youth stay in service, but each time those time, and we also need childcare for Celebrate Recovery. The time frames for every time that we need childcare is about, so CR is about 2 hours. 5:30 to 7:30, and you come and you have a classroom. We have all the resources. And for the classrooms here on Sunday mornings, after worship is when the kids are released. And so teachers and classes have kids from the time worship is over until church is over. So it's really only about 40 minutes, maybe 45, and we have resources and come alongside to say what the study is. We've done something with pre-K and elementary, so we're having the same theme each month for each class. So we have a theme like last month was the gifts of the Spirit, and then this month is the fruit of the Spirit. And so both classes are doing that, studying those things at age-appropriate levels. Anyhow, I can tell you more about that. But if you're interested, please let me know, because we would love to add you to the team and have you be a part of that. The kids love coming to church. And it's so fun. And so we want to meet that need. Time is short for them because we only have them for this many minutes, really. So I'd ask you to pray for that. And I think that's all I have. For today, since we have a special speaker, and we're so excited to have Mitchell back with us, I'm going to have all the kids that are elementary school age, so first grade or so and higher, stay here so that you can listen to Mitchell's stories and just kind of interact with him because we think that's a vital part. And actually, kids from any age can stay in here. That's totally up to the parents. But we have a nursery that is available, and we have pre-K kindergarten. I'm going to be over in the pre-K kindergarten area. And so with that, I'm going to say, hey, take a minute, say hello to each other, and then I'm going to release the kids. Parents need to take their kids to the class if they're going to go, and I'll get you a pager. Bless you guys. Are you going to go to your class? Come on, Mason.
Amen. Go ahead and see if you can find your seat. Thank you, Lord. I really feel like God has given us an invitation today to just trust in Him. And if you're carrying something or you're concerned about something, Just roll it off of you and onto him. He's big enough to handle this. I'm going to receive the offering, but before I do that, is there somebody here? I started getting this word of knowledge last night. It was like in your left hand, it may affect your right hand too, but it's like a kind of a loss of dexterity, you know, where you go to pick up something and it you think you have a hold of it, but you don't, and you lose it. Does that describe anybody here? ¿Dónde estás? Do we have somebody checking online, James, or is that? Okay. It's funny how sometimes I give words of knowledge and then people tell me on the way out. They say, that was me.
Oh, my God. Classic.
What's that?
Is that wrong?
Ask Sarah. Yeah. I want to ask Sarah. Whew. Is there someone that you have an ache in this muscle? I don't know what the name of that muscle is. It's your main muscle of your leg. Is there anybody that has that? I just want to be persistent here. Is that you? Okay. ¿Cuánto tiempo tienes? How long have you had that?
It's been about a week.
Okay. Okay, I need some girl hands.
Jesus, I give you glory.
Now, just put your hand where it hurts for a second so people know.
Okay,
that's right. That's what we got. So, Father, we just thank you. Is it hurting right now? Okay, good. Good, because... What kind of a pastor is this? Oh, you're hurting. Awesome. I just want to be able to tell what God does. That's what we're doing. So, Father, thank you for touching Jana right now. In Jesus' name. Whatever is causing that pain, we command, I rebuke sciatica. In the name of Jesus, I command every trace of it to leave her body. We command the pinching or anything that's restricting something, we just command that to be loosed right now. In Jesus' name, all the pain to be gone in the name of Jesus. Now, just move around a little bit and tell me if you can feel any difference.
The one you were praying, it kind of heated up.
Yeah.
You said that it was like it was doing this, and then it kind of
went. Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
So, Father, we bless what you're doing.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name, thank you. Father, we're so thankful that you care enough about us to heal our bodies. So, Father, let this healing totally be unwrapped in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
So good.
Praise God.
So good.
Yesterday, we were ministering at Park Plaza. And Mitchell's praying for this gal. She works there. Her name is Mary. And she's had fibromyalgia for 30 years, and God just healed her, and I just love that. I just love that when he does that. Are you sure there's nobody with the hand dexterity thing?
No.
Is that you? Okay. Okay.
But this joint.
Yes.
Sometimes I sleep with my hands curled up.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's pray for that. Thank you, Lord. Just stretch out your hands towards her in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for your healing touch. We just ask you to touch both of her hands. In Jesus' name, we command all cramping to go. We command all inflammation to leave. Father, let this hand function the way you designed and created it to function in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your healing touch in Jesus' name. Whew. Amen. Now, the way to test it is, this is Richard. Do you know Richard? Now try slugging him with that hand. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Does it feel any different to you? Okay, so you don't know yet. Well, Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for completing this miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, let there be complete healing in the name of Jesus. Command all inflammation to go, full motion and mobility restored in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tu también?
Yeah, I came late. Sorry.
Okay.
I just came last week, and it hasn't gone away.
So let me ask you this. Do you feel it here sometimes, too? Or is it mostly just in the...
It's up here.
Okay.
And then yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lord. Stretch out your hands. Girl hands and boy hands. Father, we just thank you for touching her right now in Jesus' name. We command inflammation and pain to go. Father, just release healing into this hand, actually throughout her whole body, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your touch. I just release peace, the peace of God, just to flood her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How's it feeling?
Feels great.
Does it feel great?
Yeah.
Did it feel great before we prayed? Oh, awesome. Awesome. I'm so glad it felt bad before we prayed. Praise God. I'm so excited to have Mitchell with us this morning, and he's kind of like a son of this house that has just gone on to do amazing, amazing things in the Lord. I just want to say something about healing. You know, the body that God gave us, it's very complex and intricate creation. And it is designed to work right until you don't need it anymore. It's self-healing. It's self-restoring. And it's just absolutely amazing. Now, we do have an enemy. And he wants to oppress us. He wants to hinder those things in our lives. And there's a verse of scripture I just want to share with you. I know you know it, but it's found in Acts 10, verse 38. Peter is talking, and he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. What was the power for? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And you know, when you read the Gospels, you see everywhere where Jesus went and the message he shared, the sick were always healed. And there's just something I want to share, and then I'm going to turn Mitchell loose, and it's this. One of the things that allows the enemy access in our lives is when we refuse to forgive somebody, and we hang on to that offense. It's like an open door for the enemy to have access to our lives. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know what the next verse is? Neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil that door in your life. And see, when we recognize that and when we repent, it's like doors start closing in our lives and his ability to oppress us is no longer there. And so I just want to lead us in a prayer this morning. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, I forgive everyone that has ever hurt me by words spoken, by actions done. I forgive them in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive. I want to be free inside. I want to be untangled. I close every door to the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. welcome Mitchell Wally as he comes and shares with us this morning. It's going to be, oh, the offering.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. I love those words. In fact, I turn that into a declaration. You know, the Lord will make me abound in the work of my hand, in the fruit of my body, in the increase of my livestock, the produce of my land. He is a God of abundance and increase. The Lord will rejoice over me for good. He is a good God with good plans for each one of us. What is giving really about? It's learning how to let go of what we have in order to have open hands that will receive what he wants to give us. So let's stand together. We're going to make a declaration. Then I'm going to turn Mitchell loose. Lord, as we give today, we are believing you for heaven invaded. I'm sorry. No, heaven doesn't need an invasion. Earth needs an invasion. Okay, don't listen to me. Just read what it says. Heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created. Healings, salvations, and divine manifestations. Positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations. Souls and more souls from every generation saved and set free, carrying kingdom revelation. Thank you, Father, that as I join my value system to yours, you will shower favors, blessings, and increase upon me so that I will have more than enough to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus get his full reward. Amen. You can be seated. Did I forget anything else, James? Okay. Mitchell, come on.
Good morning. All right, we all good? Okay. How's everyone doing? Good. It's good to be back with you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mitchell. I came to Walla Walla about 10 years ago for the university. Came to Walla Walla University. I was studying music. And I wasn't Adventist. It's Adventist University. And I was looking, I didn't know the Holy Spirit at the time. But I knew that I wanted a relationship with God. Like, I wanted to live for God. And so I started looking for churches off campus, and Grace was the first church that I found. I walked in. It was in the old building. Who was not in the old building? Just curious. When I walked in, they were worshiping, they were dancing, they were waving flags, and I grew up in pretty much like, you'd say like a Baptist church. And so I was like, this is different. But the thing that caught my attention was the miracles and the healings. And I was like, that's like what I read in the Bible. Like, that's still happening. And after that, Dave started taking me out for coffee and just meeting with me and really, really discipling me. And it was in that place where I got filled with the Holy Spirit and where I met, that's the testimony that I've told around the world, is I met Jesus in this church. I grew up, I knew about him, and I believe that I was saved, but when I met the Holy Spirit, I remember the time and the place. I was sitting in Firestarters, and it wasn't, there's no hype, there's no music, there was no, you know, it wasn't an emotion, it was a person that I met. And this person, when the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you, you are never the same. And it's whether it's at salvation or it's a continuing, our life is a life of going from glory to glory through the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's through the revelation, it's through seeing him and knowing him that we are transformed. And it was that moment, I'll never forget. It wasn't an open vision, but it might as well have been an open vision, because it was so clear. I could see the face of God, and he was smiling. And there was this blue liquid, like blue, crystal clear blue water. And it was just flowing. And it was the verse Dave was reading from Luke 4, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." And as he said that verse, it felt like a, I don't know how to describe it, except for the verse hit me in the chest. And I was like, whoa. And suddenly, it was the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I saw Jesus. I saw his love for me. I could feel his pleasure. I felt this this sense of cleanness. You know, like, you know what I'm talking about? When you feel clean in the presence of the Lord, I'd never felt that. And I went home. I didn't even know what was happening. I went home that night, and I just laid on the floor of the chapel at the university, and I just laughed, and I just laid there as the pleasure of God came over me. And it was that encounter that changed everything for me. And I've shared that story many times, all in nations around the world. I've seen people come to the Lord just through sharing that. I've laid hands, like the God's just moved. And at the time, I didn't really know what was happening. You know how when you have an encounter and you're like, oh, this is amazing, but you don't really know. Like it took me probably 8 years to figure out what happened in that moment. The significance of what happened. And it's happened again. There's been times of filling and refreshing. But when you figure it out, you're like, okay, Lord. And then you're able to cooperate with it and seek the Lord and actually have more encounters. And I want to share testimonies before I jump into the message. But what I really feel burning on God's heart is he wants a fresh fire in the church. He wants a fresh fire in the church. And I want to talk about worship today. I want to talk about the flame of the Holy Spirit, because I believe that God wants to give us a fresh fire. I believe that the Lord, in this season, in this church, in Grace Church, but also in the larger church, that he's restoring the altar of worship. Yeah. And he's restoring the incense of worship. And he's looking, the Father's looking for people that will worship in spirit and in truth. And so when God spoke to me in that service at Firestarters, it's not an accident that the verse that was used was the verse that hit me in the chest. It was Luke 4, where Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord." It was him declaring his ministry that I've come to set the captive free. And I woke up the next morning, and I didn't even know. Jesus is amazing because he doesn't need you to understand. Like, he doesn't need, like, I'm 20 years old. I have no grid for this. All I know is I wake up the next morning, I see people different. I'm like, I can see that they're bound. I'm like, that's not their personality. They're bound inside. I had no tools. I had no understanding. I didn't know how to pray for anyone. That didn't make any difference to Jesus. Amen. He touched me in that moment. He said, "Mitchell, I chose you. I've chosen you. I put my Spirit on you, and I'm going to send you to the nations." And if you could put up the first slide, I want to share some testimonies, because I believe what I'm going to share about these testimonies and what I'm going to share about, they're going to go together. Because what I've experienced God do has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with my gifting. It's because of Jesus. And it's because I love Jesus and I surrender to him. And it's the altar of my life that I've laid my life on the altar. I've said, "God, my life is not my own. My life belongs to you." And this is just a small example of what God's been doing. So it's been 2 years since I've been here at Grace. It was 2021. I just got back from Brazil. I can't remember if I even shared about Brazil. But since then, I've been a few places. Before I actually talk about this, I want to talk about, I just remembered, there's two trips I want to share some testimonies from. The first one was a friend of mine. I live in Vancouver, Washington, and they invited me to Wisconsin. There's a little town there called Ironwood, Wisconsin. It's on the border of Michigan. And she's like, they just need refreshing. They need the Holy Spirit. And I said, "Well, do they know? Have they ever experienced a move of God?" They're like, "No." Like, some of the pastors have gone to Bethel, but they haven't, like, the church, the community, like, they don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't know the kingdom. They know Jesus, but they don't know the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? And so she's like, "I just want you to come." And we end up going there. And the Holy Ghost broke out. I haven't seen God move in America like that in a long time. So we get there. The first night, we have a worship night. Second night, we're worshiping. And the glory, like, these people, they had not experienced God before. Like, they haven't experienced Holy Spirit in this dimension. We get up. God did so many miracles. The first lady that came up through a word of knowledge, she had three growths in her body. She had two tumors in her neck, and she had a growth on her back. And we start praying. We call it out. She comes up full. We start praying for her. The power of God hits her, and she falls out, like, so fast. She's manifesting a demon. And I said, does she do this a lot? Like, what's going on? It almost felt like, you know how people, like, it's almost like they're expecting to manifest. You know, does that make sense? Like, they're expecting a touch from God, and it happens so fast. That's what I thought happened. I'm like, she's been touched before. They're like, no, she's never, she got up. She's like, what was that? She never experienced God before. She fell out. Long story short, we ended up praying for her a few times. Those three growths, two tumors and a growth on her back, completely disappeared by the end of the weekend. She was totally healed. She had been in a car accident, and God completely restored her. That weekend, we saw, I think it was five or six growths disappear. Miracles were happening. And I shared, one night I got up and I just shared on the love of the Father. And I was experiencing about how when you come to the Father, God doesn't ask you to work for Him. And He asks you to be with Him in His presence. We're sons and we're daughters. And so I was just sharing the kingdom, sharing about the love of the Father. And one of our teammates had a word of knowledge for someone on medication that they had to take medication to sleep. People are getting healed all over the place. The pastor comes up to me after the service, and it's just a small group, but he says, Mitchell, he's crying. He's like, I have to thank you so much. He said, that word of knowledge was for me. He said, I've been taking Advil to sleep. And I can't sleep. I get up, like, I'm so stressed out. And when you shared that message, I realized that I've been working so much for God. I've been laboring. I've been doing all these things for the Lord, but I haven't been being with Him. We had a time of encounter where we're just, like, talking with the Holy Spirit. And He said, I heard from God in a way I've never heard from God before. And the Lord began to show Him His past, began to take Him back to His childhood, began to show Him, like, things that happened in His family. And He comes up and He's weeping, and he's like, whatever this is, my congregation needs it. He's like, come tomorrow, I want you to share. And we were just doing a conference. We weren't planning to share, but He opened up His church. God, the next day we shared that. God blew through the church. It was so amazing. Like, we saw this guy with, he was completely blind, or legally blind in his left eye for his whole life. He's in his 40s. His whole life he hasn't seen out of his left eye. God opened his eye. He was reading things from here to the back of the room. We saw another lady. She comes forward. She had a growth in her neck her whole life. God completely, like, instantly, it was like, I didn't even pray a second time. I just prayed, Jesus, and instantly it was disappeared. She's like, it's gone. We saw another, it was just miracle after miracle. I won't share them all. And then there was even some young people that gave their life to the Lord. There was one guy that came, he's a teenager. He didn't believe in God. His mom brought him. And he's there in the service, and he usually doesn't come to church. He's basically rebelling. He's like, I don't believe in God. I'm like really having these ideologies, just accepting different, just the junk. Well, he had something wrong with his throat and his ear. And I had a word of knowledge. I called it out, and he's like, Mom, he's like, that's me. And he's like, that's scary. He's like, how does he know that? And his mom's like, he's like, that's God, honey. And he's like, I'm feeling heat in my throat and my ear right now. No one even prayed for him. I just released the word. And he acknowledged it, and he begins to get touched by the Lord. And it was just amazing what God did. His mom had been praying for him for years. It had been a problem in the family. And I share that. It was like Holy Spirit just blew through the church in a place that never experienced it before. And I believe that's what God is doing in America in this season. I believe that God wants to blow through with a fresh fire and a fresh anointing. And even this morning. Okay, you can go back to that picture, James. All right. So, I was in Malaysia. This happened, this was back in December. I was in Malaysia, which is a country that's near the Philippines, on the border of Thailand. And in the first weekend I was there, this trip was different. There's something shifted on this trip. The first weekend I was there, we saw 5 people with deaf ears healed. This lady here, 38 years, she had deafness in her ear. 38 years, someone had hit her from a trauma. We prayed for her. In about 5 minutes, she was 70% hearing. And then another lady in the same service had, she had a clogged ear. There's 2 ears. The Lord just came and started opening ears and blind eyes like the whole trip. Maybe go to the next picture, James. I want to share these testimonies. I'm going to really highlight these. The amazing thing about what happened in Malaysia was I'd seen God move, but there was something when I went on this trip, it was like the gospel, like God was confirming the gospel with signs and wonders. I'd never seen as many deaf ears open and blind eyes, and they were just happening. It wasn't like I was pressing in or like I'm going to go after blind eyes or deaf ears. It was just, it's when you preach the gospel, the signs and wonders manifest. And what we did here, this is not a great picture, but it's what it could get. But this is a market in one of the cities we went to. I gathered the church. I said, let's go to the market. We're going to open air preach. So you can see a little stand there. We just grabbed the mic. This is like a farmer's market. It's basically what it is. It's a farmer's market. So we grab the mic and we just say, hey, I'm just saying, my name is Mitchell. I'm from America. And everyone's like looking, white person from America. It gets everyone's attention. They see me. So I just begin to preach. I preach the blood of Jesus. I preach Jesus is the only way. And as we did, I told the team, I said, guys, listen, it's not just me preaching. As people pass by, stop and begin to pray for them. We're taking ground in the kingdom. Anyone that walks past is going to have an encounter with Jesus. So the whole team just jumps in, starts praying for people. As soon as they did that, it was like you could feel the tangible presence of God come. You could feel the kingdom come. And miracles just begin to happen. The lady you see right here, I didn't even pray for her. The girl in the white prayed for her. She's Roman Catholic. She's blind in one of her eyes. As soon as they laid hands on her, she felt love. The fire of God went through her and her eye opened. She began reading and she was crying. She gets up. She shares her testimony. The next 2 hours, nonstop praying for the sick. People are coming. We have Muslims coming. We have like unbelievers coming. We have like whole families coming. Pray for me. We saw, I don't know how many, but we probably saw like 4 deaf ears open. We saw 2 blind eyes open. We saw like 10 people give their lives to the Lord. And it was just, God was just moving. I remember one of the families came and it was just this, he was just desperate. He said, I have witchcraft coming against me. I said, well, what do you mean witchcraft? He said, well, like just random times throughout my day, I'll have oil begin to pour out of me. I'm like, oil? I'm like, yeah, it's like coming out of me. I'm like, that's not the Holy Ghost. I said, you need Holy Ghost oil. That's not kingdom. So we shared the gospel. He ends up giving his life to the Lord. Him and his wife, his son knew the Lord, and the Lord powerfully touched him. So this lady that got healed, she gets healed. The next day, she brings her family, but she tells her family about the miracles. Her family comes to church, and they're all like very strict Roman Catholic, never encounter the Holy Spirit. They all come to church, they sit on the front row, and there's probably like 200 people in the church, so I don't recognize them. The pastor comes to me and says, Mitchell, those people on the front row, like they're here from the market yesterday. I'm like, really? The lady whose blind eye got healed, they heard about the miracle, and they're here for healing. And I said, you're kidding. I said, no. I said, I went over to them. I said, Jesus is going to heal each one of you. And the old man was deaf. This lady had pain. Just boom, boom, boom. God healed each one of them. 2 of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit, fell out. And it was just amazing. And I'm sharing these testimonies because this is the kingdom of God. Amen. And this is what we're called to. And I feel like there's like God is releasing his demonstrators back in the earth again. People that can, like, if we cannot demonstrate the gospel, we're not proclamating the gospel correctly. If we can't give people an encounter, if we can't demonstrate this Jesus, is if Jesus is really alive and we believe that, what are we showing the world? And those people, each one of them, I said, today is your day. The old man, he had 20% hearing maybe. And by the time we're done, his family was like, they could tell he was hearing better. Like he had an encounter, like he got healed. Last story. Do you guys like these?
Yeah.
This is next one. That's the lady who got healed. Okay. This lady, the one in the middle that's next to me with the mask. So, this is crazy. The night before, I prayed for someone over a FaceTime call in another city 3 hours away. I prayed, the pastor had me pray for I think it was their knees. Their knees get healed. It was really something simple, just pain in their knees. This lady heard about it in the city 3 hours away. She was friends with this lady. She didn't know Jesus. She's not born again. She hears about it. She drives 3 hours the next morning to be at the 11 a.m. service because she heard about this Jesus who heals. And she comes in the service. She was the last person I prayed for. The pastor told me the story. And the pastor said, we shared the gospel with her. We kind of led her to Jesus. And so her problem was she had pain in her legs like all the time. She stood at our feet like in a cafe for several hours a day. And she couldn't bend down. So if she went down like to a certain level, the pain would be so intense and she couldn't stand back up. She'd basically fall down. It was just aching all the time. So we begin to pray for her and she begins to manifest. She falls out, manifests a demon. And so I'm there on the ground just praying for her. After about 2 minutes or so, she gets free. She stands up, and I said, all right, test it out. She's like, well, the pain's gone. I said, bend down. As soon as she does it, she gets here, boom, she starts crying because she realizes for the first time in 2 years, all the pain left her body. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, you don't know Jesus? She's like, no. I said, this is Jesus Christ. This is the real Jesus. He just healed you. And then I kind of shared the gospel again. I talked about forgiveness. I said, is there anyone in your life you need to forgive? And that day she got healed. She gave her life to Jesus. She got the full package. Healed, saved, and delivered. So go ahead, James, let's go. Let's just watch the video. I just want you guys to see the reaction. Can you? Yeah, yeah. Is there any volume?
I'm looking for it.
Okay. You can see. Okay. You see her bend down there? Volume, if you do get it, that'd be great. She's crying.
We feel it.
You feel it, yeah. There we go. They're just, she's just talking about how surprised she is that she's healed. She's talking about what she felt when we prayed for her, like the power going through her. She keeps doing it, you see? That's good, James. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Can we give Jesus some glory for that? God, we thank you. Thank you, God. The nations are ready for this Jesus. The harvest is ripe. It's been ripe since Jesus went to heaven. And I feel in this season for me, the Lord is calling me full time. And so my plan right now is this season of my life, I'm working for an evangelist. I'm his personal assistant. But my plan, what I believe the Lord's calling me to, is full time missions and evangelism and taking this gospel around the world. Amen. Because my life is on the altar. I've said, Jesus, I'm yours. And there's people. It's just when you experience that. Like when you experience somebody like that's never experienced God, that hardly knows the name of Jesus, and they encounter God like that for the first time, it's not even hard to lay down your life. You're like, God, I'm not taking my life back up again. Like, this is what we live for. And there's people that need the gospel, that have never heard the gospel. I don't think there's anything like sharing the gospel with somebody that's never heard it, or that's maybe just heard of Jesus. But you know, not only that, there's a lot of religious people out there. There's a lot of religion, and the church is full of religion. And there's a lot of people that have that know religion, but they've never met Jesus. And I've experienced that the past 2 years. I'm like, I'm out on the streets, I'm talking to people, and like, yeah, I've been to church, I've done this. But when you really talk to them, they've never met Jesus. I said, God, and the Lord told me, he said, Mitchell, they need to see me, and they see me through your life. And the Lord began to teach me. He said, your life is the Jesus that they see. And I want to get into the message, and I want to talk about worship, because worship. Yeah, I'm going to pray first, and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. Jesus, I thank you for moving today. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I just pray for your revelation flowing today, Lord, and setting a fresh fire in our souls. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' mighty name. This is gonna be quick, but the Lord in John 4. Well, actually, I'll start with Corinthians. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. This is what the Lord's been showing me the past season. He said, Mitchell, you're not transformed by working for me, by how much you read the Bible. You're not transformed by your knowledge, or how much you do for me. Doesn't matter how many people you pray for, how many healings you have. Doesn't matter, like, you're transformed when you behold Jesus. When you behold Jesus. What does that mean? Okay, in Ephesians, it says, Father, I pray that you would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, in the knowing, in the understanding. When you have a revelation of Jesus, you can only know Jesus by the Spirit. Okay, does that make sense? Can you try? You cannot know Jesus in the flesh. Your flesh will come to know him after your spirit comes to know him. It's a spiritual revelation. It's not an emotion. And when you have that spiritual encounter, it's not just that salvation, it's a continuing. When you behold him, when you see him through the Holy Spirit, your life is changed. That in 1 John, it says that when we see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. We know that verse? So the goal is not to, reading your Bible is good, but the goal is not to read your Bible to gain knowledge. The goal is to see him. The goal is to know him. The goal is to have an encounter, not just an encounter, but a daily relationship where the face of Jesus becomes real, where you see a new side of him that you haven't seen before. And you know that you've seen him because when you see him, when you encounter the face of Jesus, you will become like what you see. What happened that day in grace when Jesus revealed himself to me? He revealed himself to me as the one who sets the captives free. He revealed himself to me as the miracle worker, as the anointed one. That's what it was. He revealed himself to me as the anointed one. From that day forward, I couldn't put it into words, but all I knew was when I saw someone bound, I said, Jesus can set you free. The reason I knew that was because I'd seen him. I'd seen him. And where am I going with this? Is that, guys, how do we see him? We see the Lord through our devotion to him. When we give our lives to him, when we give our lives to seeking the face of God, that's when he'll reveal himself to you. Okay, so sometimes, now he pursues you. Of course, the Lord pursues us. But it's like this is what the Bible teaches. The Lord lights the fire, but we have to keep it burning. Okay? The priest lights the fire, we have to keep it burning. It's our responsibility. And the Lord will help us. He's gracious. But guys, it's our responsibility to keep the fire burning. And I'm telling you that the church needs a fresh fire. We need a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit. And where does that fire come from? Let's go to Romans 12. I don't know if you want to put it up there, but it says, we know the verse says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So, the way that we keep the fire burning, it says, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in some translations it says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. What is Paul writing? He's saying, guys, he's like the fire of God will fall on a fully surrendered person. Someone that's fully surrendered. Okay? If you're not carrying the fire of God, you're not surrendered. You're not fully surrendered. If you're not burning with that fire, there's a part of you that God's asking for surrender. It says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. That word there, some translations say your worship. Your worship. I want to go with that translation. And where am I going with this? Is because God is raising up a worship movement. He's raising up worshipers. The Bible says that the Father is looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. What does it mean to worship God? Guys, I only have a few minutes, so I won't get into all this. But what I believe that God's showing the church in this hour, worship is not just a song. It's not just an emotion, but this is what we've done, guys. We've turned worship into an emotion and how we feel. And how do we do that? Because it's like the Bible says God is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God is not an emotion, though he affects your emotions. What we do when it's in our language, in how we do church, we think worship is what happens on a Sunday morning at a service, or grab your guitar, let's play. No, worship happens when Jesus reveals himself to you, and it's your response. It's your response to him. And but we've turned it into a song. We've turned it into a moment. It's like, this is how we say it. We say, oh, worship was so good today. And I'm just like, guys, was worship good today, or was Jesus good? And you say, oh, that's just semantics. It's not semantics. It shows that in our language, something's off. What does it show? It shows that the church right now, we are more in love with the feeling of God than God himself. That's what it is. We are more in love with the feeling of God. Because how can I prove this? When do we start worshiping? When the music starts. When the pad starts. When the... And I'm not attacking anyone here. This church carries, you guys have a heart of worship. But in general, and I know for sure the Lord wouldn't have given me this message unless he wanted to renew. So I know there's people here like, it's nothing, I'm not condemning you, but we can't afford to settle in this place where we're not giving Jesus the glory he deserves. He deserves our worship. He doesn't deserve, like we come into his presence. We come into his presence and we're like, God, I don't know if I feel you today. Like, I don't know if I want to worship you today. Guys, I'm going to say this. If you need anyone to lead you in worship or praise or thanksgiving, if you need anyone to stir you up, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping your emotion. You're worshiping, why? Because you're waiting to worship God till you feel it. Till the pad comes on. Till the atmosphere's right. Or until, God, I thank you, I thank you. Oh, there, oh, Jesus, now I thank you. Now you're here. What are you really looking for? You're just looking for the feeling of God. Okay, now God's, and then when the feeling lifts, then all of a sudden, guys, we worship him because he's worthy. Amen. We worship him because he's good. There's two reasons you worship God. The first one is his nature. It's in the Psalms. He is the creator God. The second reason we worship him is because of his works, what he's done. And no matter how you feel, guys, that's the problem, is because we've taken our eyes, that's what I'm talking about, we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and we've put it onto something else. Instead of our goal being to behold the King of Glory and be transformed, we've settled either because we've gone through hard times, we've got whatever it is, COVID, family issues, we go through these things, we take our eyes off the Lord, our souls get weighed down, and then we're just looking to just get, God, just touch me, just answer my prayer, just heal me. When that's, God will do that for you, but that's not what's going to transform your life. If you get healed, but you don't see the King of Glory, you'll be the same. And like, I even the Lord's showing me, he's like, Mitchell, you could have a healing ministry, and it would be powerful, and I want that. But he's like, I want more than that. I want you to see me and to carry my glory. Amen. Guys, people won't be flooding in the church if we don't have the glory. We need the glory. And the glory comes when we worship God in spirit and truth. His glory manifests when what is going on in heaven. Okay, I'm going to wrap up. What's going on in heaven? Okay. When what's going on in heaven begins to manifest on earth, guys, there's this movement. That I think Bethel's been part of it. That's where I've experienced it, where we begin to pray, let heaven come to earth, right? And we pray it. We sing it. That song has gone around the world. Let heaven come. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Guys, if we want heaven to come, we need to learn what's going on in heaven, and we need to do it here. Yeah. Can we go to Revelation? Yep. Can we go to Revelation? I feel the anointing of God. Like I can feel like, This is the message for the church. Need to read this. Revelation 4. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. I'm going to skip down a little bit, and it says, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. I have a question for you. Do you think that those living creatures, when they look at God Almighty, do you think that God is forcing them to say what they're saying? No. Do you think that they are waiting for the worship band to cue? When they say holy? Do you think that they're waiting? I mean, do you think that they're waiting for everything to be in line before they say holy? No, they can't help it. They can't help it. That's why God made them that way. He's like, you know what? I'm so magnificent. I need some creatures that have eyes all over them. We only have two eyes. And when you see, we get overwhelmed. I'm like, God, you know, we get overwhelmed with two eyes when we see God. These creatures have eyes all over them. And day and night, they don't stop saying, because they can't stop saying, because he's that wonderful, because he's that holy. Guys, I'm telling you, if Jesus manifests in this room, we'd all die. But if he had grace on us and we didn't die, no one would have to tell you to worship. No one would have to hit one key on that keyboard. I wouldn't have to sing one song. Guys, the problem is this with worship, is that the religious spirit has come in, and we are now in love with the song rather than the one the song is about. We're in love with the memory of that one time we sang that song because we touched heaven in a moment back 10 years ago or whatever it was. 2 years ago, we touched heaven with the song. Heaven came and changed forever, but we really haven't experienced it in 2 years. So we sing the song again. We're like, this song is amazing. I love this song. Man, I just need to put on that worship music. And so, oh, this song gets me going. This song, do you see what I'm saying? You settle for that, you rob yourself an encounter with God. Amen. It's immature Christianity. But the reason I'm preaching this is because this has crept into the church from the highest level to the lowest level. And you know what we do? We rob God of his glory. Because God wants to manifest his glory. But he's looking for a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. The scene in heaven is constant worship day and night. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Why? Because they can't help it. Like when you really see him, there is a choice. I don't know fully if in heaven there'll be a choice to worship God. I mean, but there's always a choice to love. Love requires a choice. I'm here to tell you guys, worship has nothing to do with how you feel. Amen. I studied the scriptures. I looked in the Psalms. I came up, it's about zero. A zero. Now, of course, like there's times God overwhelms you and he touches your emotion. We worship him because he's creator. We worship him because he died on the cross and he shed his blood. And if that ever gets old to us, we need to come to the place and say, God, show me again. Show me again. I don't want to sing this song because it's a good song. I want to sing to you. I want to sing to your heart. I want to please you. And that's the fire that God's restoring in the church. That's the incense he's restoring. It's ministry to the Lord. You know what happens when we lose this fire? We get caught up in other things. We become Marthas. That's what happens. We start doing for God. You will naturally start doing for God when you stop encountering his glory. That's just the progression. That's how it goes. And then you get weighed down by religious stuff. And before you know it, you come into the presence and you're heavy. You're like, God, oh, I got this problem. And you need God to touch you. You need God to take it. Because we left that place of keeping, of what does it really mean to worship God? Does it make sense? And the reason I'm passionate about this is because, church, we're called the house of prayer. What does that mean? It doesn't mean intercession is part of that. But what is prayer really? It's fellowship with God. It's fellowship. It's fellowship with God. It's communion with God. When people walk in, guys, you shouldn't even have to tell them that God's here. They should know it. They should feel it. They should encounter it. Why? Because we're ministering to him. That we found that place in heaven where it says, we found the revelation for worship in spirit and in truth, where holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. When Jesus, how do we access worship? Like, worship in spirit and truth. It's so simple, guys. Like, you guys know, like, most things God says are simple, right? When Jesus becomes the center of your worship, that's when the glory of God will begin to manifest. I'm going to say this. If the glory doesn't come in your worship, Jesus isn't the center. You're not worshiping because he's faithful. Every time Jesus becomes the center, individually and corporately, his glory will manifest. And I've experienced this enough to know in my quiet place, Jesus is faithful. When I get to that place, it's a daily thing. Like, he comes every time. He responds to your worship. when it's real worship, when he's the center, guys, the problem is that he's not the center of our worship. What another thing that God's removing this hour is self-worship. The reason Jesus isn't the center is because we're making ourselves. Can I ask you a question? Who else got in trouble in history for wanting the center of worship? Who got kicked out of heaven because they wanted? Guys, this is why it's so important. It's not just like we're getting off track. It's devised by the enemy. He's looking for worship. There's two people looking for worship. Jesus, he loves your worship. He died on that cross. He shed his blood because he was looking for people that would raise their hands, give their full lives, give that incense, give that offering to him. And the devil's over here trying to steal that worship, trying to steal that attention. And he's like, okay, they gave their life to Jesus. What I'm going to do, I'm going to make them focus on themselves. I'm going to make them focus on their problems. I'm going to get them so focused on the flesh that they're not giving Jesus the offering. Because I'm telling you, the moment that you connect with heaven, the atmosphere in your life will change. Everything will change. I'm going to break this down. How does this happen? Let's break it down just really quick, and then I'll close. So when you, it's the feeling again. When you live for your feelings, for how you feel, you are glorifying the devil. And why is that? Because he is now on, your feelings have now become the throne of your life. That's why I'm saying worship is full surrender. Who's on the throne of it? If you look up, you know, some people say, you know, worship is giving your heart to God. If you study the word worship, this is what it boils down to. It has to do with kingship. It has to do with loyalty. It has to do with devotion. It's coming before the king. When we worship Jesus, we worship him as king. That's why it says that he is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Does that make sense? The king comes. Oh, man. Okay. The king comes. When you praise God, he sets up his throne. Can you see why the devil don't want that? Because if you begin to praise him, he begins to, that's why right there, that reason is why you feel better in worship. Is because when you praise him, he begins to manifest his kingdom, and the anxiety and the heaviness and all that stuff begins to leave. And you're like, this is amazing. The problem is you fall in love with the feeling rather than pressing in for the encounter. Because it's after you praise him, his kingdom comes. That's when you begin to actually worship him. It's a whole other message about the way into his presence. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. There's an order. And sometimes we stop at one, we don't get to the other. But it's in that place of praise. That's why you feel good, better. And then you're like, oh, this is amazing. And so you're looking. But then we start looking for the feeling. And what happens is it's no longer about Jesus. It's about how you feel. And now your feelings are on the... And suddenly, do you know where that leads? It's so satanic. Because when it becomes about your feelings, that's where offense can come in. Man, the worship team just wasn't on point. Man, the pastor wasn't on point. It becomes all about you. It becomes all about how you feel. Do you see where that spirals down? You see the plot of the enemy? He wanted to make it all about himself. And guys, that's what the enemy is doing in the church. That's where you get every problem that arises comes from that place. You've made it, you're self-centered. You made it about yourself. And there's no condemnation. There's no shame. God will deliver you. But you have to understand where this is coming from. It's satanic. It's not just demonic. It's like Satan knows exactly what he's doing because he's been there. Like he's walked through this. He's like, I'm going to make them focus on themselves. I'm telling you guys, it's such a trap because I don't, like, when you see him in his glory and you experience his glory, of course it affects your emotions. It affects body, soul, spirit. You're out on the floor and you're whatever it is. Maybe it's, you know, whatever encounter. But you never want to leave that place. And there's a season in my life this past 2 years where it was every morning, like, 4 hours, it's not because I was like, okay, I'm going to pray for 4 hours. I couldn't leave. I mean, I could, but you guys know what I'm saying. I didn't want to leave. I said, God, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go to the nations anymore. Like, I don't want to pray for anyone else. Just show me your glory. And I just sit there and I talk with God. And the revelation in that place, the revelation flows. Everything you need is in that place. Suddenly you realize that's where the love of God becomes so real to you. That's where you're transformed. That's where your burdens are lifted. Guys, it's in that place. But you only get to that place when Jesus is at the center, when he's lifted high, and when he becomes, when he's it. That's the full surrender. So I want to encourage us today, wherever you're at, you know, I know that some of these things are hitting you. I want to encourage you, it's to ask the Lord to refresh you, to renew, ask him for his grace. Because, you know, one thing, it takes the Holy Spirit to worship God. You know, sometimes we come into his presence and we're like, God, I worship you. And we strive. We press it. It's not a striving, it's a surrender. It's coming to his presence. It's just, thank you. God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you've paid. And it's a choice, guys. It's a choice to say. It doesn't really matter what you've been through in the sense of God cares for you. He does. But as far as worship to the King, like worship to the, when a king walks down the street, when a king comes in the room, it don't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what happened. No matter, it doesn't. The king just walked in the room. Now, our society doesn't fully understand that, but I just want you to imagine, let's say whether you agree with him or not, let's say the governor walked in the room right now, or the president of the United States. You know, I don't know what you guys would do, because anyway, you guys know what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Your attention would immediately go to him. That's called honor, whether you like it or not, because he's in a position of authority. Whether you agree with him or not, that position demands authority and respect, no matter how you agree. And that's what I'm saying, guys. You don't even have to agree with God to worship him. You can be mad. You can be like, God, I feel like I'm mad. But you know what, God? You're the king, and I worship you today. And if you learn to do that, you'll stomp hell every day. I'll just take another. Let's say Bill Johnson walks in the door right now. I get off the stage and I sit down and be like, Bill, we're going to honor you right now. Or let's say Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham. Because that's honor. That's respect. That's what we give. Can we give Jesus the same honor? Can we give Jesus who paid the price for our sins? Is there ever a moment in your life that you can't give him that honor? Like, well, I lost a child. God lost his only son. God knows what it's like. He's still on the throne. What you're going through has nothing to do with Jesus being on the throne. He's on the throne. And he deserves the honor and the glory any moment. And guys, when we learn to do this as a church, that's when we learn to host his presence. That's when his glory will manifest. So I want to give a few invitations this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're like, Mitchell, this is awesome. I've never even had an encounter with Jesus before. God wants to touch you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that every story I'm telling is an example of his nature. God loves you. God died for you. God has a plan for your life, and he wants to fill you with his presence. Christianity, this thing is not about a religion. It's not about, you know, it's not about just going to church. It's about having a living relationship with Jesus, and he wants to live inside of you. And if you're here this morning, you're like, I just need a fresh fire. You know what? Let's just do this. I just want everyone to stand. Father, can we actually just do this? Can we just turn our affection to the Lord and just honor him? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, let's do this together. Out of your own mouth, I want you to begin to thank the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We honor you, God. We honor you for the cross. We honor you. Just begin to remember the times where God has touched you. Remember those times when there's a miracle or you just experience His glory and just begin to thank Him for it. God, thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your anointing. Father, thank You for touching me 10 years ago. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You. Thank You. God, we just thank You. We honor You, Holy Spirit. We honor You in this place. Father, we honor You with our lives. We thank You. Jesus, thank You. There's no one like You, Lord. There's no one. There's no one. There's no one. Just begin to put the name of Jesus on your lips. Just begin to say Jesus. Just begin to just declare it. God, we just thank You. There's no one like You. God, there's no one. No one compares to You, Jesus. No one compares to You. You see, you don't need a song to worship the Lord. You don't need a song to give Him glory. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of our adoration. Jesus, Jesus, You're worthy. Jesus, You're worthy. Jesus, You're worthy. Your blood has washed our sins. God, You've saved me. You've healed me. You've delivered me. We thank You. We bless You. We bless You. Worthy. Worthy King. Worthy King. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so holy. You're so holy, God. You're so holy. You're holy over every situation. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. God, You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're so holy, God. You're so holy. You're so holy. We worship You, God. Can we just lift our hands? Every hand in this place raised. Let's just, Jesus, You're holy. Jesus, You're worthy. Jesus, You're mighty. God, we just love You. We say yes to You, God. We say yes to Your kingdom in this place. We say yes to Your glory. Worthy. 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 You're holy. You're holy. Jesus. 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 It's in this place, even now, that God will begin to manifest in. And like you're just beginning to experience Him, and it healing flows in this place. God, we just thank You. Worthy. Worthy. You're so worthy, God. Worthy. Jesus. Worthy. Jesus. Jesus. We give You praise. God, we give You praise. God, we give You the praise. We give You the praise. We give You all the praise. No one. Ooh, God, I could search all of heaven, all of earth, but there's only one. There's no one like You, Jesus. There's no one who can compare to You. Jesus. Jesus. And worthy is Your name. Jesus, You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Worthy is Your name. Jesus, You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. And worthy is Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Worthy is Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Jesus. Thank You, Father. 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 you, Lord. Thank you. We could keep going and just, it takes time to wait on the Lord to seek his presence. But the Lord wants to, he's healing people right now. There's somebody, it's already happening. See, in the presence, in the glory, God won't even have to, you don't even have to lay hands, but there's somebody, God's healing head issues right now. Headaches, head issues, anxiety, things, mental, that's what it is. It's a mental assault. There's mental things being broken right now. If you have any issues mentally, anxiety, sometimes racing thoughts, anxiety, headaches, just raise your hands, right? If that's you, and just, Father, we just thank you for that anointing. We thank you for that anointing over her right now in Jesus' mighty name. There's people can't sleep, just mental things. God's healing you right now. There's someone, you get pain down your arm. It kind of radiates down your arm. Jesus, we just thank you. We just thank you. God's healing you. If that's you, I don't know which arm it is. I think it's the right one. It's what I saw, but it pain that kind of goes down your arm. The Lord's healing you. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you. Yeah, I think we're going to close the service, but if you want prayer, I'm here just to lay hands on you. I just feel like if those words of knowledge are for you, I'm going to pray for you. If you just want a fresh touch, a fresh anointing, if you feel God pulling on your heart, just come to the front, and I'm going to begin to lay hands on people. But Father, we just thank you. God, I thank you for grace. I thank you for this church. Father, I thank you that you're restoring the flame. You're restoring the altar. You're restoring Revelation 4, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray for this church that there would be a fresh anointing come on this church, a fresh breath of heaven, that there would be a burning, shining lamp in the city of Walla Walla. God, that there would be a burning, shining lamp, that when people walk into this building, they know something's different because of the glory. God, I thank you for a people of glory. I thank you for a people of glory, not just a people that know your spirit or your presence, but they know your glory. They've seen the face of Jesus. They're wearing the glory of God. They're clothed in glory. Father, we thank you for your glory. 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 We thank you. Yeah, I just feel like there's an impartation. God, I just feel like there's some impartation. God wants to commission some people today. God wants to, there's commissionings happening. I feel like there's some people I need to lay hands on for commissioning, for just like a release of the apostolic in your life. And so, Father, we just thank you for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So Mitchell's going to be available to pray for people. Just a reminder that we have a potluck today. In theory, it was supposed to start in 5 minutes. It might be a little bit later than that, but you are all invited to the potluck. We've got plenty of food. So, Father, we just thank you. We open our hearts to the things that you're saying and doing in our midst. And, Lord, we want it all. We want it all in Jesus' name. So God bless you, saints. Again, please, if you feel a prompting to receive prayer, just come and receive it. In Jesus' name, God bless you.